Oh, snaps.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, the CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business and where friends don't let friends feed kibble. And who's here with me today? Dr. Judy Jasek. How are you today?
I'm good. I am good. And I'm excited about moving into 2022 and, you know, see what we can do to change the world and create healthier pets.
Man, I'm telling you, lots of good stuff coming out right now. And I tell you one thing that I think that we should say that we were right on this. I'm going to pat ourselves on the back. But you know that the CDC, Dr. JC, came out and said this, that actually the PCR test was bogus. It has no place in trying to detect the presence of the Wuhan COVID-19 coronavirus inside a person's body. This is coming from Rochelle Walensky. They said the fake federal agency's top dog. This is, she was on an ABC News interview that says the new science, as if they actually use any science at all, shows that the PCR tests do not work and the government is no longer using them. And that's why people can't find them. I've been seeing on next door people, oh my God, I need a COVID test. I need one. It's like, why are you testing? Doesn't work anyway.
I wonder if that's why there was this big surge in like testing locations. Were they trying to use up all those tests before like they were obsolete? Because there was like a whole bunch, or those are different than the rapid tests. Because there was this whole like right around the holidays, you know, like the vaccine sites, you know, they had these like mobile vaccine sites were turned into testing sites. So you could go there and get your, you know, holiday COVID test or whatever. So maybe that was a big push to use up the test before they became obsolete.
Yeah. So here's the thing. They're now saying that the PCRs can stay positive for up to 12 weeks. So 3 months, right? You're testing. And they're now, come on. I mean, this is totally, you know, this is like everything that they do, Dr. Jasek. They throw it out there. There's no real science. It's great for you. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. We're sorry. That caused cancer. We're sorry.
Yeah. Five years down the road, you know, like, I guess that wasn't the best thing to do. You know, maybe there was something on those swabs that, you know, could make you sick or, you know, oh, we're sorry. I guess this vaccine wasn't so great after all, and it's killing people. Like, you're supposed to know that beforehand, before the stuff comes out.
Yeah. But hey, science, come on. We don't need to do science. We don't need to do real tests, right? Because that would hamper our ability to make billions.
Right. It's all about the money. All about the money. It really makes me question like some of the stuff that, you know, is commonly done in veterinary medicine, because it's all the same industry and it's the same big corporations that we are making tons of money for by doing stuff like that.
I know. If anything, and I think you and I have said this before, this whole thing should wake people up about what's going on in the dog industry, because you can relay it now to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? All of the friggin' mandates.
I actually, you know, I had a client in, yesterday or the day before, one day this week, and she went into another clinic to get an acupuncture treatment. And she said, you know, it was very strange because, you know, acupuncture, you think more holistically oriented veterinarians. There was actually a poster on the wall printed by the AVMA, which is the American Veterinary Medical Association, saying, please get your COVID vaccine to protect your pets.
What?
And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, that actually was on the wall. Like, they're actually saying, you know, they're putting out just complete bogus propaganda. Like, there's zero evidence that pets can get whatever this COVID thing is. Zero evidence. But they'll just do anything. Like, oh, if we can get a couple more people to get this shot, you know, if they're afraid, you know, make people afraid that they're going to spread something to their pets. You know, they go to the grocery store, they're going to bring something home and get their pet sick. So, you know, get your shot. And they actually sent out a notice saying that we should be encouraging people to get their COVID vaccine. Like, that's not our place. We don't practice medicine on people. You know, that in and of itself goes against our licensing, as far as I'm concerned. But they're putting out an AVMA who's all corrupt and tied into the big, you know, pharma and the big corporations anyway. But they're actually putting that. They're just so bold. Like, they'll stop at nothing. They'll stop at nothing to push this agenda. And people just, boy, be so careful where you get your information from. Listen to us. We'll tell you. We'll bring you the truth. We say it like it is.
Yeah, the raw dog food truth, right? We want to say hi to some people who listen to us out there, Dr. Jasek. Bree in Oregon. Bree called yesterday. She raises Turkish Anatolian shepherds. Do you know how big these dogs get?
No, I have no idea. I've never heard of them. I've heard of Anatolian shepherds, but not Turkish Anatolian shepherds.
Yeah, so there are 190-pound dogs.
Wow.
Little miniature ponies. What do they do? They guard livestock. They're guardians of livestock. So people who have pigs, sheep, goats, like that, these dogs will guard them from predators. Pretty cool.
Yeah, because what coyote is going to mess with a 200-pound dog?
Right? A dumb coyote. is there such a breed?
I just looked them up. They kind of look like a cross between like a Samoyed and a Mastiff, or not a Samoyed, Great Pyrenees.
Yeah.
White dog.
She's a natural rearing breeder. Good. They're not. Her. So I just did this podcast, Dr. Jasek, earlier this week on a breeder who was only going to guarantee the health of the dog if they fed this kibble dog food. And the kibble dog food was on a auto ship. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Bree calls me because she has a guarantee if they only feed raw. Now here's the big difference. She's not making money off of raw dog food.
Exactly.
But she said, look, I'm not going to let my healthy puppies, don't want them to go to homes where I know that they're not going to be fed correctly. And she said, people think we're snarky. People think that we're crazy. She said, I don't care. Because this is a breeder who actually cares about the health of a pet. Mm-hmm. Not getting a reoccurring check off a CKS, crappy kibble. You know? So I love that. And the 190-pound dogs, that's a car payment for sure on feeding raw.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it is. It's a lot. It's a big commitment. But, you know, I hear that a lot. And, you know, I'm sorry, but if you can't afford to take, you know, optimal care of a 150-pound dog, then don't get a 150-pound dog. Get a 10-pound dog, because nothing's cost prohibitive, you know, when you have chihuahuas or something, you know? I mean, think about that. You know, I think people, like, they like the idea of a certain breed, or, you know, oh, it's such a cute puppy. And they don't think about what's it going to cost to take care of them in the long run. And there's just nothing more important than a good diet. And if you can't afford to do that, how are you going to afford to treat all the diseases that are going to show up because you're feeding the crappy kibble? Like, you're going to pay one way or another, and feeding the crappy kibble, you're going to also pay with a lot of heartache watching your pet be chronically ill.
Right? It's crazy. And yeah, you definitely have to think about how many dogs you're going to get and what the size of the dog is. So I was down at the jewelry store here in Evergreen because I have a bracelet that was stuck. And I mean stuck for 3 months. Okay. Couldn't get it off. So I was down at the jewelry store talking to them. Anyway, they have a little pug And this pug has allergies, right? Mm-hmm. And so started, and they're on a, they have changed their diet. So they're very open about talking about the raw diet. Well, this little pug only needs 6 rolls a month, 6 2-pound rolls. So 12 pounds a month. It's nothing, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Versus a 190-pound dog. I get it. That's almost 4 to 5 pounds a day. That's a lot of food. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you definitely got to think about how you're going to feed this dog. I mean, we forget, Dr. Jasek, that when we buy a car, there's a cost, right? You got to put gas in the car. Oh my gosh. Right. Why did I buy this car? I can't afford the gas, right? You got to put tires on it. You got to get oil changes. You might want to go get a car wash.
Yeah, there, right.
Right? Now, you could just ride a bicycle, you know, and you wouldn't have those costs, I guess. But mm-hmm. there's always going to be a cost associated with yeah. having a kid, buying a car.
And is there, so I think, I mean, I understand some people just, you know, fall on hard times, lose their jobs, just really have to tighten up the budget. But I also think that there's this sort of mindset people have in their minds, like how much they think they should be paying for dog food. Like they'll get an idea in their head, like I'm not going to pay more than $100 a month for dog food or whatever. And then they get this big dog and like all of a sudden they got to pay $200 to $300. Well, that's too much. But then they'll go buy the new car. And if you buy a new car, well, you expect a $400 a month car payment, say, or you go buy a house and you expect to be paying $1,500 a month. So that's fine. But there's just this mindset around how much people think dog food should cost. And they just don't want to pay more than that. So I think it's important for people to look at, well, can I truly not afford it? Can I rearrange my budget? Can I, you know, maybe not go out to dinner quite as much or not go to Starbucks quite as much? Or is there anything I can trim off the budget so that I can afford a healthy food for my pet? And I suspect that most people can do that. It's just like time. I think when people say I don't have time, you know, I'm a very busy person, but I also know that I will find time for the things that I prioritize. If I got to do go take care of my mom, well, I'm going to make that happen. You know, so you can always, I think, or almost always, never say never, always avoid always. But I say almost always, you can rearrange if the priority is strong enough. So maybe that's a good question for people to ask themselves. Is this actually true? I can't afford this, or it's just not a big enough priority in my budget because I've got a $300 cable bill. Just saying. I had a friend once that said that, like, you pay what
for TV to get your mind programmed the wrong way?
Exactly.
Except for Yellowstone. I do like that show. But anyway, so Anne B, who listens to us and who has written us before, she wanted to ask this question, Dr. Jasek, about why her dog's eating dirt. Why is a dog eating dirt? And there's a lot of reasons why a dog might be eating dirt. But I think we'll go into some other reasons why dogs may be eating dirt, but as long as it's not sprayed, let them eat dirt. What would you say about that, Dr. Jasek? Dogs eating dirt.
I don't think it's necessarily harmful. I've had a few clients over time, and this is kind of the extreme end of this, where their dogs would obsessively eat dirt. Like they would go out in the yard and that's the only thing on their mind was eating dirt. And I do think that, you know, are they craving some mineral? Like, are they missing a mineral and their body is craving something? You know, I've heard of pregnant women eating dirt. I actually worked with a woman once that said that she would come home from work when she was pregnant and she would look at her house plants. And she literally said this, and I would get out a spoon and I'd go over there and I would start eating dirt. So I craved the dirt so much.
Oh my God. What are we having for dinner tonight? We're eating dirt. It's your spoon, babe, and belly up to the Diefenbachia.
It's the natural probiotic You know, right? So that could be another thing. So is the pet's microbiome saying, hey, we need some of the bacteria that naturally lives in the soil? So I always think when I hear that, I mean, first of all, you know, if it's a, you know, 10-week-old puppy, puppies eat everything, you know, like they're just exploring the world with their mouths. So that's a little different than an adult dog that is just going out in the yard and eating dirt obsessively. I would really look at, you know, nutrition, make sure that the dog is healthy and getting good nutrition. And, you know, is it on medications? You know, this whole thing about what's the whole story and what could be messing up that dog's health, maybe preventing it from properly absorbing minerals. If it's on medications that are binding with things and they're not absorbing their nutrition appropriately, or their microbiome is unhealthy and the dogs are, you know, craving that, you know, the natural bacteria and microorganisms that are in the, soil. So I kind of think about that. I mean, I would definitely explore that, and just to make sure that everything is good there. The other thing I ask people is the soil treated? You know, is there stuff in it like bone meal or something that might be attracting the dog? And, but, you know, realistically, it probably isn't going to hurt them. Like you said, if it's not sprayed, it probably isn't going to hurt them. I would just make sure that they're not doing it because something is lacking for them nutritionally.
Yeah. So I've heard of a couple of things that it could be, like what you were saying, lack of minerals, maybe it's zinc or magnesium that they're missing. And maybe there's some zinc and magnesium in the dirt. But a lot of people want to know, where do you get zinc and magnesium? Well, in the raw diet. I want to tell you that you can find it in both of these. Zinc and magnesium can be found in these proteins: rabbit, chicken, turkey, pork, goat, eggs, beef, elk, salmon, sardines. And how many of those, Dr. Jasek, do we have in our lineup? Almost every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every single one of them. So if you think your dog's missing out on some magnesium or some zinc, then maybe you need to be on a raw diet.
You know what I heard once, like one of the biggest sources of zinc, and this may sound a little gross, but is eyes. So
nice.
You know, things like your duck heads, things like that. They're fish, the whole fish.
Rabbit.
You know, eating eyes, rabbit.
The rabbit and tripe. Yes. The rabbit and tripe. I did find an eyeball in there, and people are like, oh, yuck. I'm like, it's not really that bad. Cause it's the head of it's the whole head of the rabbit in the rabbit and tripe. You learned something new today, didn't you, Dr. Jasek, about my blends?
I did.
You didn't know there were eyeballs in the rabbit and tripe.
I did not know that, especially not in the tripe, because I didn't know that the stomach had eyes.
No.
I knew rabbits had eyes, but I didn't know that the stomach had eyes.
Well,
so I did learn something new. I don't remember learning that in anatomy.
These new creatures with all the vaccines, there's rabbit in the stomach. There's eyes in the stomach now. No, but it's the entire head. So you're going to have that. You're going to also have the manganese in the fur. So magnesium and then the manganese in the fur, and then the zinc in the eyes.
Yeah. So eating all the body, I mean, if you think about, well, I want my dog to have all the nutrients necessary to be healthy. Well, if they're eating an animal, like that animal they're eating was alive and supposedly was in decent health, they're going to be getting those nutrients. They can't not get them. And I think, you know, I think people get really, really led astray by looking at these, you know, nice lists of nutrients on ingredient labels, because they have this list and it's got the exact, you know, number of IUs or whatever, however they're measuring the nutrients, but those are all synthetic. And so you have no idea the dog could even absorb them. Is the body going to, you know, digest and assimilate them? You know, we've talked about how these nutrients are meant to be taken in together. A lot of nutrients work synergistically. So they work together. They help the absorption of other nutrients. And so that's where the whole food feeding just does so much more than these diets with that nice, you know, pretty list of nutrients. And you know what else dogs in the wild eat? They eat dirt, because if they kill an animal, guess what? It's going to be like all covered in dirt. So it's right. Not like that foreign really for dogs to eat some dirt.
No. And I wanted to ask you about this, because another thing that I heard on why animals might be eating dirt is due to anemia. Okay. So they were saying that if a dog, let's say, has cancer, right? You deal with cancer dogs, or they have kidney failure, or they have ulcers or things like that, that maybe they're low on iron. And so they could be eating dirt for that reason. You see animals with cancer, obviously, a lot. Are they anemic as well?
Some will be. It varies with the type of cancer. So the cancers that can bleed, like your hemangiosarcomas that actually grow off the blood vessels and will actually open up and bleed those enough blood that they will become anemic. Or if they're just not eating well, you know, sometimes cancer patients just don't feel good, or, you know, either because of the cancer, or if people go down the road of chemo and they're not feeling good, if they're not eating, you know, they're going to get deficient in nutrients, like obviously. So that can happen secondary to cancer, depending on the type of cancer. So yeah, we definitely do see that.
So you might take a look at that again. Where does iron come from in the raw diet? Rabbit, chicken, turkey, pork, lamb, goat, yeah. Bison, egg, beef, elk, salmon, sardines. I mean, when you really look at, and I've got a list, you guys, on my website, it's in the Learning Center. It's in the beginner section, and the title of it is Amazing Whole Food Vitamin and Minerals from the Raw Diet. So if you're wondering what's in the raw diet, take a look at that list. You just get so much real food, real nutrition out of the raw diet.
You know, and another thing, kind of the other end of that spectrum, is I have seen people try to overly limit certain ingredients. Like I talked to somebody a couple of weeks ago that her dog had had some elevated liver enzymes, and she had read that if copper levels are too high, then that can affect the liver. Well, that's true. You know, there's some copper storage diseases. There's some dogs that don't metabolize copper normally and it will build up. That's pretty rare. You're not going to find that in most dogs. There's most likely, probably 99% of the time, there's other reasons why the liver enzymes are elevated. But she was going through and eliminating foods that had copper in them. Well, when you eliminate foods that have a particular nutrient, you're eliminating so many things from the diet that you're depriving the dog of all the other nutrients that it needs. And you end up on this really limited diet that isn't healthy. So you have to be careful about that. Phosphorus is another one. I hear this a lot, you know,
all pets, the time.
Pets, their kidney values go up a little bit, or they want to keep the kidneys healthy. So we restrict the phosphorus. There's absolutely no reason to restrict phosphorus if we have normal phosphorus on the blood work. Even if the kidney values are going up a little bit, if the phosphorus is normal, there's no need to, in my mind, if they're eating, say a pet's on a balanced raw food diet, there's absolutely no reason to change the diet. There's things we can do to support the kidneys. I have herbs and different things that we can help support kidney function and maybe do some additional detox. And actually, even if the phosphorus levels do go up, I would be more inclined to do something like a phosphate binder, which because the kidneys do clear phosphorus from the body. And it is true that if the kidney function is not 100%, then the phosphorus levels will go up. And so there's phosphate binders that you can give them, so they just don't absorb as much. But this is a case where we're getting towards end stage kidney issues. Most dogs I see with elevated, like an older pet, kidney values are going up a little bit. We just add some extra support in for the kidneys. We don't have to change the diet. They still need that balanced diet. So, you know, people, and then, you know, people are like, well, I'm not going to feed, you know, anything with phosphorus in it. Well, then you're also throwing off your calcium phosphorus balance, you know? Well, I can't feed bone because it's got phosphorus in it.
What?
Well, you can't feed calcium without the phosphorus either. You know, like that's worse. And usually these are pets that have their phosphorus levels are completely normal. So I always look at the blood work. We have normal phosphorus. I don't worry about restricting it. And usually if pets' kidneys have failed to the point that the phosphorus is going up, we're usually approaching, you know, end stage kidney failure. You know, we've got some serious stuff going on, and depriving the pet of adequate nutrition is like the worst thing you can do in that circumstance. So don't restrict individual ingredients, because you're going to deprive the pet of the nutrition it needs to be healthy, because those kidneys need the fresh food diet and all these nutrients and appropriate protein. You know, we've talked about protein. That's another one. Oh my gosh, a raw food diet. It's 100% protein.
Yeah.
I'll tell you how many times I've heard that. You just can't feed just meat. Like, well, we're not just feeding just meat, you know, we're blending all these other things in, and meat is not 100% protein. So again, but it's the same principle. You're focusing on one thing, fat. You know, some people, you know, so many people get hung up on, well, I have to feed this really, really low fat diet, where usually, because I see, you know, I hear so many times, oh, my pet has a history of pancreatitis. I've heard that so many times. I think it's just way over. I think it's one of those cop-out diagnoses. You know, the vets throw that out there. Those other vets, not me, but those other vets throw that out there. And they'll, you know, pet has some GI issues. Oh, that's probably pancreatitis. Like, okay, well, I can never feed my pet fat. Like, okay, so maybe we don't feed a high fat diet, but it doesn't mean that we cook the crap out of their diet, and so that you can drain every little last bit of fat, because that fat is also nutritious. And I don't think that well-sourced healthy fats are the problem anyway when it comes to pancreatitis. It's what else is going on? What other inflammatory carbohydrates do we have, or medications or things like that, that are inflaming the pancreas? So I think anytime, if you're inclined to think that you need to limit a certain nutrient, you really want to rethink that, because I think that that's a real dangerous road to go down.
Well, and I would ask, and I trained my staff to ask, what do you understand about, let's say, copper? What does copper do for your pet? Well, copper converts iron to hemoglobin. It protects against anemia, and it's needed for healthy bones and joints. So are you certain that you want to take that out of the diet? And then when we look at phosphorus, right, it's needed for teeth and bone formation, nerve impulse transfer, normal heart rhythm, and kidney function. So are we certain that we want to take this out of the diet?
Right. We don't. Some of these nutrients, they're so important. They don't need a lot of it, but they are essential. And it's like what you were just saying, they help make the other things in the body happen. They're essential. It's, you know, we were talking about all these nutrients work together. And if you start to pull one nutrient out, then these other processes in the body can't function. And you just end up doing so much more harm than good.
Something else I heard from one of my pet parents that I was actually talking to, they had taken their dog in to the vet for whatever reason. There was, I don't know if it was a checkup or whatever. And I guess they were listening to the heart of the dog. Mm-hmm. Maybe they heard some arrhythmia. They asked the pet parent what they were feeding. And the pet parent said, well, I'm feeding a grain-free kibble. And they said, oh my gosh, we got to call in the cardiologist. They actually did this. Mm. They called in the cardiologist because this, either whether it was a vet tech or I don't know, it did not specify, told this pet parent, you've got to feed grains in order for the heart to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So they called in the cardiologist.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that has absolutely zero to do, you know, with your dog's heart. You don't
need. And there's no evidence. No, you hear all this, the big line, you know, oh, it has to be evidence medicine. There is absolutely no evidence that that is true. There's been no link to that. It's all purely propaganda. So I would encourage people, if you hear that from your vet, and I've had many people come in and tell me that too, that they've heard that, oh, you got to feed grains for your dog to have a healthy heart. Ask them where they're getting that information from, because I can guarantee you there is no sound research of any kind that supports that. So it's just like, you know, oh, dogs that eat raw get salmonella. You know, how many times have we heard that? I wish I'd had a dollar for every time, I'd be wealthy. But there's no proof of that whatsoever. It's just all propaganda. And, you know, I think that's a really important thing where people, you know, hear things like this from your vet, and especially when they're scaring the bejesus out of you, you know, people get, well, and I understand they're concerned about their pets. And then they hear something like this and like, oh my God, I've been killing my pet. I've been, you know, causing heart disease and my pets, they're panicking people for no reason. They're giving them false information. And it's so wrong. It's so negligent in my opinion. But if people push back a little bit and ask, well, where did that information come from? Get their sourcing, get the research article. I can guarantee you they don't exist. And then people will know, okay, this is bogus information.
Well, how much do you think calling in a cardiologist cost?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it probably cost the client $400 or $500.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So I'm just like, I said to this fabulous pet parent, I said, listen, the onus is on you. Unfortunately, in today's environment, the onus is on you to know what is misinformation, what is suppressed information, and what is propaganda to promote a product, to promote a cycle of medications, vaccines. In today's world, we're going to have to look outside of the traditional narrative, because do you want to be sitting there in a year and, you know, Hills comes back, oh, I'm sorry, this causes cancer. It's just why can they just say, I'm sorry? Why? And then you can't, there's no recourse. There's no recourse. You can't sue them because it's standard of care. Well, we were just following orders. We were just following what the reps told us to say. We were just.
Because it's all part of it's all part of the agenda. Yeah. And the standard of care is killing pets. And I'll tell you, when, you know, back to the heart thing, you know, the best thing to feed your dog for a healthy heart is heart. Get him some beef heart or some chicken hearts, you know, like feeds, you know, you're feeding the nutritional components necessary for a healthy heart. And I will tell you, I have seen cases that have come in with heart murmurs that are on kibble diets, you know, rescue dogs, especially that have not had, you know, good nutrition because of their life circumstances. And we get them on a raw food diet, and I have seen heart murmurs go away, or at least, you know, diminish to the point that they weren't a problem. So before you get hung up on that, you know, grain, you know, the grains in the kibble diet being so necessary for a healthy heart, try a fresh food diet and see what happens. Cause it's the best thing for your dog, including the heart.
Do you know, Dr. Jasek, that we carry ground beef heart in 2-pound rolls?
Mm-hmm. I didn't know you had a ground. I knew you had a heart.
What? No, we do. We have ground beef heart.
Awesome.
It's ground beef heart. So you can come over and grab you a 2-pound roll of that. We also just have, I think we have bison heart on the side as well. But I will say this, I mean, if your dog is eating a raw diet, right, and it's not 100% protein, but it is sulfur amino acids in this protein, the cysteine and methionine, that come together and make the taurine for the heart, right? You're not going to get that out of plant proteins. And I think if you ask that question, Dr. Jasek, if our pet parents really ask that question to the vets, which sulfur amino acids should my dog have for their heart?
Pretty sure they won't know.
Well, it'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, very interesting.
Right. And then where do we get those? Where do we get it in its real whole food form?
And like we were saying, these nutrients work together, you know? So if you're eating like the heart, the muscle part of the heart, you know, you're getting these nutrients in their balanced form because it was a functional organ working. So it had to have all the nutrients to keep it working. You know, it's just, to me, it's a no-brainer that that would be the healthiest thing to feed rather than a whole bunch of synthetics, which are nothing more than a bunch of chemicals. If you don't know what everything is on the label, what you're feeding your dog, then you shouldn't be feeding it. And I can guarantee you some of these chemical names for these nutrients, I don't even know what half the stuff is when I read some labels, which I do all the time because I bring up my computer to show them to clients, like, see, look at this. This is what you're feeding your pet. Does this sound healthy? And, you know, if you really look at it, you know, most people would agree that, no, that doesn't sound healthy.
Right. All right. So why do dogs eat dirt? Well, it could be a lack of minerals, could be digestive issues, as you've said. It could be anemia. It could be any of those three. And I think that you can really hit all of those if you're feeding a species appropriate diet, meat, bones, organ, fat. Yes, it can have tripe in it. Some tripe might have eyeballs, totally fine too. we want to get you on that species appropriate diet because you know, all the stuff that I just listed off, turkey, chicken, rabbit, duck, pork, all of that is great for dogs. If you need something extra, I have heard that you could feed the soil-based probiotics. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we have those. It's called Protect. It's in the shop under the supplement section. Just go to the supplement section, hit see more, and then look at Protect, but it has the humic and fulvic acid in it. Okay. So you could do that. But here's two other reasons that you said, Dr. Jasek. Maybe they just like the taste of dirt and maybe they're bored.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe they're bored. Get them out, get them doing something.
Right. I've heard that you can just add extra bone and organs to the meal. That's one thing that you really like. You really like to add extra organs. Some people don't want to deal with the raw organs. We have the organ. If you don't, just feed the guts and glory. It's freeze dried. It's great. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Give some
and you got
bone.
That and you got that better bones too, which is awesome. Yeah. I've been recommending that a lot. A lot of people just think their pet has problems digesting bone or whatever. And so if they think that, they just do the better bones and then we can keep them on the raw and the people feel okay about it. And it's a great option.
Yep. We've got great options. We can tweak anything. We can figure out just about anything. Dr. Jasek is a great resource. She's at ahavet.com. Over there, Dr. Jasek, you've got great, great blogs in your multimedia center. You've got blogs, you've got articles that you've written, articles that you've written way back in 2011 that are still so, like the one about the flu shots. I was reading that today about should you give your dog a flu shot, you know, because people are like, oh my God, my dog's got COVID. I need to give him a flu shot.
The more I learn about vaccines, the more I discourage people from giving them.
No, come on.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm right there.
Come out of the closet here and just say, vaccinate right? Your pet. Quit poisoning them. If you quit poisoning them and you give them good nutrition, they'll be healthy.
Yeah, it's amazing. Isn't it funny? It's like, we're going to make you feel better. We're going to give you this poison. We're going to put this chemo in your body. It's going to make you totally feel better. I'm like, what? How does that work?
Yeah. Right. We're going to kill the cancer, but we're going to kill your body too.
Yeah. So. Take your pick. So Dr. Jasek, she'll do general medicine. She does cancer consults, works with cancer patients, telemedicine, preventative medicine. When you go over to your site, you're going to see that she has a section puppies, seniors, adult pets. So she's got just about everything that you need. She's going to do blood work, your analysis, fecal exam, titer testing, cancer screening, nutritional testing, and ultrasound. So she can do so many things for you. Give her a call. Give her a call. Get signed up. It's at ahavet.com. And then get your dog on a species appropriate diet. Nothing better than getting your dog on the right food, right? We can help you. Go to rawdogfoodandco.com, where your pet's health is our business and friends don't let friends feed kibble. We'll see you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Oh, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.